Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
We want to start, though, with the Dublin Bay South election and or the constituency there and the upcoming election, because of course the writ was moved yesterday and now the election posters have gone up in their droves overnight, but not everybody's happy with the election posters. If you're a resident of Dublin Bay South and you want to get in touch with us here on the show, we'd love to chat to you. 1890 453 106. Dara is a resident in Dunleary. What do you think of election posters, Dara?
I think they're completely not needed in this day and age. It's the same thing every few years, whether it's a general election or whether it is a referendum. Thousands of these posters, maybe even tens of thousands, go up around the country. Invariably, some of them end up getting washed away or blown away. The cable ties are never removed afterwards. You can still see, ones from years ago on lampposts all around the country. And it just kind of seems like a bit of an environmental waste in this day and age. I think that there's better ways for politicians to be able to get their message across to people. And, we have the internet, we have 24-hour news cycles. I just kind of think in this day and age that they're not really needed.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually live in the Dublin Bay South constituency, and I have to say, I was out for a walk earlier this morning before coming in. There's a real buzz of election about the area. I actually think they add a bit of, the kind of election fever in the weeks leading up to it.
Yeah, perhaps. I'll be honest, I've been interested in politics. I studied it in college. I've been interested in it now. So, maybe know if there's an election coming up more so than maybe the average person. And that argument is often used that it helps people identify that an election is taking place and gets people talking about issues. But, sometimes as well, the argument is often used that, people make a decision based on an election poster. And this is one reason why the political parties still like to use them. But to me, that would almost be a reason to ban them even more. We should be basing, our vote on proper issues, having thought about the candidate, what they stand for, what they don't stand for. I don't think people going out and voting, as some people maybe do, based on who looks nicest on a poster or who, has the best slogan, is actually very healthy for democracy either.
You must think they're a fairly fickle electorate if they're basing it on appearances.
The thing is, though, when they do research, this actually does come up.
Yeah.
When people are actually asked, why did you choose such a candidate? I think around 5 or 6% of people actually say, the posters helped me decide, which is absolutely crazy. And of course, there seems to be as well no, oversight of what can be put on posters. So I know it's some of the previous, referendums, particularly around the abortion referendum and the gay marriage rights. A lot of people were quite upset with some of the slogans that were being put on the posters. And when people kind of tried to, object, we've kind of found out that nobody was really in charge of it. The advertising standards agency were like, that's not to do with us. And then the Gardaí were kind of saying, that's not to do with us. And then, the referendum commission were saying, we've no oversight over it either. So it kind of seems that you can kind of put up a poster and almost put anything on it, which again, I don't think is really good.
Okay.
It's just like I said, the environmental impact of all of these posters being produced. And certainly in other countries, like I think, Amsterdam, for example, there's a very limit to how many can be pull up, and they do pull up posters, but they're put in very, very select areas. And I don't see why something like that can't be done here, where maybe candidates are given a select number and that's all they can use.
Yeah, so just cap the number of posters that any one candidate or party can put up. Yeah, it's not a bad idea at all. It's interesting when you talk about the removal, if you like, of the posters, because a lot of the local authorities in the country, to the best of my knowledge, they actually facilitate for candidates go out. They obviously have to take down their posters within 7 days after the election anyway. They take them down, they bring them over to the local authority or the recycling centre, wherever it's organised, and a lot of them actually organise that the posters are disposed of, in an environmentally friendly way. So
I think things have definitely gotten better over the years, but there's always some that still remain up. A lot of them, they're cardboard. I presume the trees are being cut down to make loads of them. Then it kind of becomes a zero-sum game. Someone puts up a poster and they think that they're getting an advantage over the competition, and then someone comes up and puts up their poster, and then someone comes up and puts up another poster. You know, I mean, I've walked by sometimes areas in my local constituency, and literally, you know, you see 16, 17, 18, 20 posters within the space of just 20 meters. You know, it just kind of seems like such a waste. And then people start putting posters over the competition and the rival candidates. So, you know, it kind of becomes a zero-sum game. And like, okay, I said, the plastic cable ties are then never removed either. So then they're left littering, you know, lampposts the length and breadth of the city as well. But I just think in this day and age, you know, we have the internet, we have social media. I think there's just better ways and more intelligent ways for candidates to get their message across.
Maybe capping the election posters that any one candidate or party can erect isn't a bad idea at all. Stay with us, Dara. It's 1894531106. Councillor Ronan Moore is in the Meath West area. He's a Social Democrat councillor there. Ronan, do you think we should actually just do away with election posters altogether?
No, I think I'd probably agree and understand a lot of what Dara has just said, and even yourself, Andrea, in terms of the role that posters can play. But I think there needs to be a happy medium. There is a better way that can be taken. And a motion that I brought forward at our last council meeting last Monday was to identify alternative ways of increasing awareness for election candidates, so that we could reduce the use of multiple election posters in the towns and villages, which unfortunately was narrowly defeated 19-14, which I thought was a little surprising and disappointing, because as I wasn't calling for an outright ban, it is protected nationally. So you mentioned in terms of capping the number of posters, if that were to take place, it would have to be decided nationally. But there is evidence out there that does suggest that posters do help in the democratic process, in terms of it does alert the public to an election coming up. It does increase familiarity with the local rep.
Well, particularly, Ronan, for first-time candidates, I imagine. Like, if you're the newcomer in the area, particularly in a big constituency, and, you know, you're going up against the big stalwarts, well-known names, you know, you're a new face up on the poll and the poster. Like, I imagine for the first-timer, when you first ran, did you use posters yourself?
This is it. I did. And that's a really important point. And again, it was mentioned that, look, there is evidence that posters do help first-time and newer candidates. And in the case of our own candidate, Sarah Durkin, there would be someone who would be familiar with her professional work with the Science Gallery and her activism with the Wake and the Feminist campaign, but she wouldn't have the national exposure of others. But I feel there couldn't be a happy medium, and there can't be an alternative raise. And in their response to my motion, Meath County Council were very progressive in that they had suggested that they could look at temporary notice boards put up in the centre of urban areas that have that does take place in place in Belgium and Netherlands. I think you mentioned
that. Yeah, they do it in France, I think, as well, don't they?
Absolutely. So where every candidate could be given equal billing. Now, I recognise in some very rural areas that might not benefit, because obviously they mightn't have the same urban area. But in Dublin Bay South, a lot of your residents up there would have a lot of these places where they could put these notice boards, where there are other candidates could put themselves forward and could explain who they are. And that way it would allow people see that election has taken place. It would mean that the posters that are put up there, or I would say on these boards, are paper as opposed to a courier board, which actually, as Dara has mentioned, he mentioned the cardboard, they're actually single-use plastic, which is actually the heart of the matter, is that these can take hundreds of years to biodegrade. And as you rightly say, Andrea, in the local authorities, a lot of the waste operators do take them after a local election. But they are still a single-use plastic. And while
I have a text in here from a listener who says, I previously ran for election before. I had a couple of posters that I gave to a beekeeper to use them for hives.
Yeah, and I know I've given a number of posters to art students and art classes who love courier boards to draw on. So they can be used. I have a few, actually, that are in my hen coop out the back as well. So they are great, but like, we're talking hundreds of posters, and that's the real issue here. You're talking about the proliferation of massive amounts of posters, a lot of single-use plastic. There's only so many art classes, hen coops, and beekeepers in the country.
Well, what about that, Dara? Maybe there's other ways that the posters can be recycled and used afterwards, other purposes for them.
Well, I don't know how many beekeepers there are in the country to use all of the notice boards that we're using, or the election posters. I do like the idea of notice boards, though.
Because I'm thinking, how many people are going to go to this notice board and look at it and stand there outside the shop or wherever it is and read this?
you could say that. I mean, how many people are going to even vote in the election as well? I mean, a lot of the time the turnout for an election can be anywhere from around 40 to maybe, you know, 60 or 70%. But I think a notice board could work. I mean, there could be several within an area, so candidates could get their face up there. And then also you could have a situation, which I think, again, is done in some other European countries, where on certain days a candidate comes to the notice board and does a speech about their election issues and what they stand for, so people can come actually, you know, meet the candidates and actually talk to them. And again, I just think that would be better for democracy rather than people, you know, everything being based on a slogan. I actually think that's really, really bad, where, you know, with Brexit, it became just, you know, take back control. You know, was that good for democracy? Do we think that was a great idea to have a slogan, to have all those fake, you know, posters, almost, you know, selling a false promise of Brexit. Right. You know, so I just kind of actually think for democracy and just for better debate, I just don't really think election posters add a huge amount. But you're right, I think a happy medium can be found, and maybe something having, you know, notice boards in certain areas could be one way to do that.
Christopher is on the line as well in the Dublin Bay South constituency. Well, Christopher, what's your own view now in the posters that are up over your locality since overnight?
Yeah, I think that, you know, those posters, they bring a moment of occasion to an election. You know, they alert people
with you.
To it. Yeah, and in the 60s were very dull, you know. We had St. Patrick's Day and Easter. But when the elections came around, you know, when I was a kid, you'd see all these colourful posters up, and they kind of draw people into local democracy, you know. They also give party political activists, you know, a job to do in the election, you know, that they feel they're part of it. And they also keep a good few small printers fed, you know. So all that sanitization of it. Do you remember when they tried to do away with the Pian Louis and the overnight counts and all that, and they brought in electronic results? Well, it completely destroyed coverage for people who are kind of aficandos of politics.
Yeah, if you're a political follower or a bit of a political nerd, election posters are certainly something you enjoy. And it's funny, like
a big long count.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me bring in Dr. Adrian Kavanagh, because Adrian, well, he's a lecturer of the Department of Geography at NUI Maynooth, but he's also, if you follow elections, you'll know Adrian Kavanagh. Adrian, why do we need these election posters?
I think the main purpose to serve Andrea is, as a lot of the callers have noted already, I like that point.
Do you know, we'll come back to you, Adrian, there in just a moment. We'll just reconnect with you. Ronan Murray, you're still with us here, Social Democrat councillor in Meath West. So your proposal that you put forward, or your motion, I should say, was rejected. You didn't get the support you wanted. Like, do you think, is it something that other councils around the country might look at?
I think it could. I think, like, it was narrowly defeated in 1914. I think we had a relatively good cross-party support. I think all of Fianna Fáil actually voted against me. The kind of the tradition maybe was an element there. But I do think it could get support. Like, I agree with Christopher. Like, there is an element of colour. I know Social Democrats, purple, it will add the greens, yellows and reds that go up there. But I think it is the reduction of this. And like, he is quite right when he says, look, there is an element of work that comes with it. But the courier board that we use in posters is imported from overseas. So it's not really, it's money that is going out. And the parties themselves, they probably will spend money on this, will spend it elsewhere with local designers and on other mediums as well. So, look, it is something I think could be brought in. It is something I think that local authorities could do voluntarily, because that's what the opportunity is there, as it is protected nationally.
And it's funny as well, because there's certain villages in parts of the country where the candidates actually, you know, work with and agree with the local tidy towns in those catchment areas not to poster during the election campaign, or maybe only to poster on the way in to the town, and then once you actually reach the village, that there's no posters erected in those areas. Now, Adrian Kavanagh is with us. Adrian, why do you think we need the posters?
As one of the previous callers said, Andrea, they do create a sense of occasion around election time. But they're also important because they do alert people to the fact that there is an election happening. And particularly in a constituency like Dublin Bay South, I think they're important. I'm sure you remember in the last general election, Dublin Bay South had one of the lowest turnouts in the country. It was 52%. And I think posters do help the electorate to the fact that an election is taking place. Now, we might say, why? Well, they can follow on social media, etc., blah, blah, blah. A lot of older people won't use social media or the internet very much. A lot of people who use social media, they're probably not following politicians. They're probably following other things like sports or movie stars or that, other than elections. So they're probably not even aware of election talk because that's not the sort of things they follow on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. So I think they are important. I think, like, I remember way back in the day when I was doing my PhD research on voter turnout, they were writing about Northland Dawkin. And Northland Dawkin is an interesting case study. Back in 2002 in the general election, an Irish Times article wrote about Northland Dawkin, about the fact there was actually no posters around Northland Dawkin. It wasn't because there was a ban. It was just the party seemed to be interested in really trying to mobilise the vote there because of the low turnout. And, of course, Northland Dawkin in that election had one of the lowest turnouts in the country. Now, fast forward 20 years with more mobilisation, dare I say it, more posters, Northland Dawkin's turnout rate is probably close to the national average. So I think they do serve an important purpose. Like, yeah, it's true, you do need to limit them. I think we're getting better in terms of the use of posters. We no longer have the posters up 3 or 4 weeks after an election or 3 or 4 months after an election. There's more regulation, and I think the parties, like, if you do see posters up, say, 2 weeks after an election, it's probably because a member of another party is taking your poster and put it up 2 weeks after. So I think parties are getting better in terms of regulation. And,
yeah.
And they're also getting better in terms, as one of the callers said, in terms of recycling.
And the local authorities themselves are making a big effort too in assisting with that. Yeah. Just a quick one I want to ask you, Adrian. Dara's suggestion around potentially capping the number of posters that any one party or candidate can put up, and also the thoughts around maybe designated postering zones, or, you know, your kind of whatever you want to call it, a poster or something up in the hall or wherever you want to put it. What do you make of that?
I think the designated poster zone is a good idea. It would create a more level playing field. Although I suspect, would you be able to find enough spaces around the constituency? So I think you do need the kind of standalone posters as well. In terms of capping the number of posters, that's not a good idea. Again, it would create a more level playing field. The problem is some posters don't always stay up on the polls they're put up on. So if you're a party and you're limited to 200 posters, say, and maybe a couple of your posters go missing, then you might be at a disadvantage. So there's good ideas there. I think probably a bit more talk, but I think this is definitely something, Andrea, we probably need to think a bit more on. Like, I'm not anti-poster, as you may guess, but there's probably a bit more we can think about how we use posters. And once, hopefully, the Electoral Commission gets up and running at some stage in the next few years, this might be one of the other things they can think about as part of their work.
Okay. Just on some of the messages, Ted in Cork says, small party candidates get no coverage from the media. They have to poster. All they get is mandatory calling out of names after spending the programme talking to the various different political parties. Bill in Dublin, issue each candidate with 50 named and numbered cable ties. A €1,000 fine for each. Yeah, €1,000 fine each. Fine for each poster found without a numbered tag. That then will create a level playing field. Another listener who says, if this was a by-election in Clare East, would the media be so concerned about it? Another listener has got in touch talking about the electorate's responsibility to research the candidates and their own manifestos before they vote, so they're making an informed decision. Just on a final point, Councillor Murr, I've a text in here from another councillor who says, I'd prefer not to be named or for you to read what constituency I'm in, but can you please ask Councillor Ronan Murr, why didn't he call for an all-out ban rather than to just look at other options?
Yeah, it's good text. And I think probably to echo what Adrian has mentioned, like, there is a need for a happy medium. Like, they do serve a purpose, as a lot of your texters have said, about first time and newer candidates. So it would probably be disingenuous for me, having been elected as a Social Democrat, to then ask for no posters to be allowed. But it is that happy medium that I think is what is needed to make sure that we make sure the democratic process is protected, but do something that improves it at the same time.
All right, good stuff. Listen, thanks a million. Councillor Ronan Moore, Meath West, Social Democrats, Dara Christopher, and also Dr. Adrian Cavanagh from NUI Minute. Thank you for joining us here on the programme today. 1890 453 106 if you want to get in touch with us on the show. Now, still to come on Lunchtime Live, we're going to be finding out about a garden centre where their insurance premium nearly quadrupled after a pandemic claim. But coming up next, we're going to be talking about mental health and young people. Now, earlier here on Lunchtime Live, we were talking about the election posters that are up around the Dublin Bay South constituency ahead of the election next month. And lots of you getting in touch with us about this. Ted is on the line in Cork. Ted, what do you think about the, what do you think of the election posters?
Hello, Andrea. I suppose the point I was making is the necessity for smaller party candidates and independents and those that are not well known to use posters, and one of the main reasons for that is, I suppose, to be frank, the lack of coverage from the mainstream media of candidates other than the main party candidates. Now, the irony, I suppose, is that the small party candidates and the independents have less resources even to indulge in major postering, but they still have to actually do something to get their name out there. I mean, typically, I suppose, and I'm not it goes across all channels and all outlets, but a typical programme reviewing the current by-election will focus on maybe two or three of the big-name candidates from the big-name parties, and they're spoken to for maybe half an hour or so, and their viewpoints get across. And all the other party candidates get on the independents then is the mandatory calling out of the names, you know. So, you know, they're on the hind foot, really, from the day the election is called. They've got to try and do everything they can to get their name out there. And I suppose given you know, in terms of given the lack of coverage that most political programs will give to them, they have to try and do something on the posting to make up the difference.
We actually have to keep a log. You know, if we were doing the, if I had, we're talking obviously about the Dublin Bay South election constituency today, you know, and if, say, for instance, if I had a candidate on from that to talk about this issue, which we could easily have done because, you know, we were looking at the social media interaction, we'd have to keep a log of the amount of time to ensure that there's balance overall throughout the course of the election before it happens or takes place in July. But I take your point, though. You're talking really about kind of the small party, the independent, and the and first time candidates too, Ted, really. Like they're really at a disadvantage against the incumbent.
Well, it's all about name recognition. And I mean, the point I make is that every one of the candidates going into this by-election, and the list isn't actually closed yet, but there could be anything, maybe up to 20 candidates, right?
Yeah.
None of that 20 has a seat or a mandate in the Dáil. They're all going in as nobodies in reality, right? And my belief is that all those 20 candidates should get equal shift and equal time and opportunity to put their point of view across. Now, what you say, Andrea, I honestly find that hard to believe that, let's say, you will be able to equate the time that maybe your programme or Pat Kenny's programme, whoever else's programme, that they will be able to equate the time that is given to Mr. Gagan or Ms. Batchik or the Sinn Féin candidate, Lynn Boylan. I can't even name some of the small party candidates. Pick out one, for instance. I doubt if Justin Barrett will get the same amount of time at the end of the process as those three would have got. If that's what balance is meant to be, you know?
The other point of that, though, as well, is, I mean, the other parties will have big PR machines behind them and press parties that'll be, you know, issuing a press release. I can guarantee you, Ted, every day of the week there'll be, you know, Joe Bloggs has something to say about X issue and Y issue and the other issue and the whole lot. And you know what I mean? The smaller parties or the smaller candidates probably won't. They won't have that team behind them to keep bombarding, you know, this candidate wants to raise the
They absolutely won't, and I suppose that's the point I'm making, Andrea, in that the system as it is self-reinforcing. It will keep producing the same result because it's designed to do so. The large parties award themselves public funding to promote their campaigns. They can get out there. They're in everybody's face. They're on the media. They have money, right? Ireland is one of the most difficult electoral areas in the world to get anybody new or different into the National Parliament. To me personally, it's one great mush of middle ground consensus on everything, you know. It's hard to distinguish between many. As I come back to the point, it probably would suit the smaller party candidates if there were no posters at all. at least.
What do you think of the designated? What do you think of the designated zones we were talking about? Would you think that's a you know a fairer middle ground?
I think it is. I think that's a good idea, and I think an allotted equal quota for all candidates is also a very good idea. Yeah.
Well, actually, that was a really interesting text that we had in from one listener talking about potentially only giving, you know, like 50 or 100 numbered posters and numbered cable ties to each individual candidate. And then maybe one text or one listener suggested find them €1,000 per poster that's erected or put up and doesn't have an official number on it. It's only another suggestion. Look, Ted, we'll have to leave it there. We have to take the 1 o'clock news. But thanks a million for getting in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Now, still to come, we're going to talk about business's insurance premium, which nearly quadrupled after the pandemic, and also beware of the wild boar that's in the loose in Kerry.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.